Grace and peace be yours. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. The good shepherd. The good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd who calls out for the sheep. The good shepherd who looks for the one, right? The good shepherd who finds the wounded sheep and carries it. You probably remember in childhood Sunday school class, didn't we almost all have a picture of the shepherd carrying the lamb? And it was a comforting message, right? You didn't even understand all the deep theology of the scriptures, but you understood who Jesus was and what he's like and what he does. It's a wonderful message. The good shepherd who loves us, who calls us, who looks for us, who carries us. It's wonderful. Most of you probably know it's not especially flattering. Sheep aren't too bright. Sheep are prone to get lost. And sheep are weak and subject to being preyed upon. We love the image. We should remember God saying we're not too bright. We get lost all the time. But the good message is that he looks and he calls us. It's a nice message. I want us to notice something that in John chapter 10, and today we read just verses 11 to 18, but if you read the entire chapter, in addition to being a comforting message, Jesus has specific things to say about the good shepherd. And so there's a lot of content he wants us to get as well. In addition to the comforting message, and it is, and it must be comforting, but Jesus in John chapter 10 starts the chapter out by contrasting two images. One is the image of the shepherd, and the other is the image of the robber. Jesus says the shepherd enters in by the gate. The guy who climbs in over the wall is a robber. That's where he begins to say, how do you know the difference? And he says, my sheep know my voice. And just as I said in the children's message, where do you hear the voice of God? Word of God, right? To know his word, to read it, to study it, to learn it, to take it to heart, to inwardly digest it. Remember that old prayer? All pastors say, be in the word of God every day. Why? So it gets familiar. Not just so that we have committed memory verses to our hearts, but so that we know what does the voice of God sound like. There are a lot of false things said in the world. And sometimes you can theologically break down why it's false. But a lot of times, have you ever heard stuff and you just thought, that just doesn't sound right. That's often the good smell test. If it doesn't smell right, if it doesn't smell consistent with this, it's not right. And Jesus goes on, not only is there the shepherd and the robber, he says that all those who have come before him are thieves and robbers. All those who have come before. The first thing was to hear the voice of God and to hear the voice of God and the word of God. And now he's talking about the absolute necessity to differentiate between true and false teachers. Notice now when Jesus says all those who have come before, he's not talking about the true prophets of the Old Testament. The true prophets point to the shepherd, right? The ones who say Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, guys like that say the shepherd is coming. He's not talking about them, but he's talking about false religion. Are there false religions in the world? And they seem to proliferate, right? People invent new ones all the time. And isn't it funny? We are in the Gospel of John, John chapter 10. Our epistle lesson was from 1 John. And we often call John the disciple of love, right? John talks about God's love. He talks about the wonderful love that ought to exist between the people of God. And so people have said, John is the disciple of love. I want us to know something. John is also the disciple of truth. John cares about the two of them very much. Love and truth. Hear these words from 1 John chapter 4. Bearing in mind John chapter 10, watch out for the thieves and the robbers. 1 John 4, dear friends. John loves to call us that. I like that. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. You hear it? Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Isn't that the way? The false religions always say something wrong about who Jesus is. That's the test. is Jesus, God in the flesh, incarnate, sinless, died for the sins of the world, rose again on the third day, and they're going to get that wrong somewhere. The disciple of love and truth says, folks, notice that, and so does Jesus. Jesus continues, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's the truth of it, right? That's the central thing. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's talking about his cross, of course. He's talking about his death for the sins of the world. And we need to know this. That's absolutely unique to Jesus. Even the best of the disciples and the best of the prophets never did that. Who else died for your sins? Nobody else. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Luther. They don't die for your sins. Wonderful teachers, examples of the faith. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I love that he says this one little word, the word the. Jesus says, the good shepherd, the good shepherd, if you want to hear it that way. The, in other words, Jesus is saying, how many good shepherds are there? Just one. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is the good shepherd. There's not another. That's what he's saying. And Jesus isn't saying, I'm one good shepherd among many. Take your pick. Nope. The good shepherd. And the good shepherd has laid down his life. And by the way, he adds, he has authority to lay it down. He also has authority to take it up again. Right? No human power keeps him in the grave. All those things being true, the end of John chapter 10, he then talks about the security of the sheep. Jesus says about all that he does for us, he says, I give them eternal life, they shall never perish, and hear these words, no one will snatch them out of my hand. No one. No power on earth. No threat. No government. No violence, no terror, no intimidation, no name calling. Nothing has the power to take us away from Christ. Only one thing, by the way, Jesus never talks about eternal security. As you know, some churches say once saved, always saved. It's a comforting doctrine. It's just not biblical. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, be careful lest you fall. In Matthew 13, there's the parable of the sower where some seed lives and then passes away because of the cares of the world. The Bible is saying, how can you fall? Only from myself, right? Nobody can take my faith away. Nobody can touch my faith or your faith. The only thing that can is if I decide to turn away. So saying this, don't turn away and you won't be snatched away. That's a promise. No one can snatch you away. How many good shepherds? One. His name is Jesus. He died for the sins of the world. He rose on the third day for your salvation, and nothing can take you away from him. Now, that was the gospel lesson for this week, and I was reading, you know, in our bulletin we have that plan of reading through the Bible in 3 years, and I'm not making this up. This past week, one of the chapters was Exodus 18, and I couldn't help but in my mind lay these things together. John 10, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Exodus 18, Moses, we're going to call him the under-shepherd. Moses leading the people. He has brought them, God's power doing the work, but God working through Moses has brought Egypt out of slavery in Egypt. He's saved them at the Red Sea. God saved them. And then what happens is in Exodus 18, they're kind of camped out in the desert. And the entire nation of people bring their concerns to Moses day after day. One of the verses literally says that the people stood around him from morning to evening. I'm smiling as I say this. Don't hear any of this as a complaint, please. But I want us to notice something about this. They were wearing him out, right? They were wearing him out. And Moses was visited by Jethro, his father-in-law. Guys, aren't we always trying to impress our father-in-law? And Jethro comes and he sees it. And the first thing Jethro does is he rejoices that the Lord has blessed Israel and saved them. But then he watches people wearing Moses out. And Jethro says, what you're doing isn't good. You know that chapter of the Bible? It's a great chapter. Jesus is the good shepherd, but he has under shepherds. And I love what Jethro has a proposal. Here it is. verse 21, select capable men from all the people. By the way, in the New Testament, men and women serve in leadership, but this is Old Testament. Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials. Hear these words. Officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Isn't that a wonderful insight? How's the work going to get done? Well, we'll get Moses to do everything. Is that how it works? Jethro says there need to be some structure. And over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties and tens. The NIV says appoint them as officials. The New King James Version says appoint them as rulers. The English Standard Version says appoint them as chiefs. The Hebrew word is sar. It actually means a representative of the king. That's why they wrestle with what are we going to do. You don't want to translate it by five words, four words. A representative of the king. By the way, that was in good times, wasn't it? We sometimes say the church forms herself up in bad times. That's true. The creeds were written in response to heresy. But this is a text, Exodus 18, where God is blessing Israel. They're out of slavery. They're free. They're headed toward the promised land. They're being blessed and prospered, but they need to get a little structure going on. Now, why would a pastor like that text, right? Every time I read Exodus 18, I think of the boards and committees of the church. And you're going to say to me, Pastor Walt, that text doesn't say appoint boards and committees. Well, it doesn't say it that way, but doesn't it say that? Doesn't it say that? Let me ask you this question. Do we have a choir? Yes, we do. You know what else we have? We have an organist and a choir director. Doesn't that make sense to you? Do you know what would happen if the pastor would organize the choir? They'd be singing Pink Floyd. No, they have to do something better than that. Does our property get maintained? Yes. You know what else we have? The Board of Trustees. Does our church have spiritual care? I don't want to say imperfectly, of course. You're led by humans, imperfectly. But we have a pastor and a lay minister and Stephen ministers and elders. Is there a lot of stuff going on here that needs some oversight? Yeah, we have a congregational president, a vice president, a church council. Do our ladies gather together in a book club? Yeah, it took two women to organize it. Isn't that right? Or the painting group, or how many groups? I'm looking at Sue Strauss, of course. The head of tens, right? How many good shepherds? One, Jesus. No one else. No one else died for you. Luther didn't die for you. No pastor of this church has ever died for you to take away your sins. There's one Jesus. We have to be as clear as that can be. And the Lord Jesus has sought us out, has carried us in our low moments, has called us back when we drift. But having that shepherd, there is work to get done around here. And we can't say, you know what's going to happen? Let's have the pastor do it. The pastor can do some of it. But this is nomination season. Isn't that funny? I can't pick the timing out like that. We were scheduled to read Exodus 18 last week. Nomination season is the time of the year when a board of people in this church call you and ask you, would you consider serving? And do you know what most people say is they say, it's nominations committee, I need to hide. Right? No, that's not how we do it. I'm not saying you have to say yes. I've said this before. I'll say it always. If the nominations person calls you, by the way, you're allowed even to volunteer. Think of that. Prayerfully consider. Prayerfully consider. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the Lord of the church. But he has appointed under shepherds, and not just the pastor, but under shepherds, plural, both men and women, to do the work of the church. As officials, or leaders, or representatives, or chiefs. Some Bible translations say, as captains. I always like that one. As captains over what? Over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Amen. Let's stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.